This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That we need to get rid of at some point. And I don't mean violence. Violence isn't the solution. I want to see peaceful independence. I want to see peaceful secession. Hopefully that can happen before it all comes crashing down, because at some point it will likely fail. No government has lasted forever. No central bank and its currency has lasted forever.
No fiat currency. The U.S. dollar is essentially, like almost 50 years, a little over 50 years old. It was basically the dollar we're using now is, created in 1971.
You're talking about when they got rid of the gold standard, right? Or whatever, right? So we can come back and talk more about that. It's Ian, Jay, and Mark here with you tonight. Let's go to the phones and to your calls and thoughts, though. We have Skeeter on the line in California. Go ahead, Skeeter.
Quick point. I think you guys agree. Keep hearing you say government is a monopoly on violence. It's not a monopoly on violence, it's more aggression, really. It's a monopoly on justice is a better way to put it. And it isn't a monopoly per se, right? And I had another point.
Why would it not be a monopoly per se?
And who else can administer justice?
No, it's not a cartel either. It does impose regulations where it raises barrier entry on some of the industries it enters. Like education, for instance, but it's not the only provider. You have public roads, public school, private roads, private schools, et cetera. So okay, it's not a monopoly per se.
But why is it not a monopoly on violence?
You do have to pay for those schools that you don't have to send your kid to.
Sorry. Mark, go ahead. I got to get in listening mode. I was trying to...
He said you have to pay for the schools whether you send your kids to them or not.
Yeah, but... it still doesn't remove the private schools, which are competition, which would technically not make it a monopoly. They still have to compete in the private versus the private sector in education. Similar with other things they provide.
Okay, your original claim was that it's not a monopoly on violence per se. So can you explain that?
No, I said it's a better way to put it is it's unfair just to say it's kind of like an over cynically way to put it.
Well, that's what Barack Obama said. We're just quoting him.
I don't care. I don't care what he says.
I mean, he's telling the truth.
But,
you haven't actually given me any reason why it's not a monopoly on violence. I'm still waiting for that.
No, I said a better way to put it is it's a monopoly on justice, which is a better characterization of the monopoly service it provides, right?
No.
It does.
No,
it
forces you to.
You probably shouldn't use the term justice to describe something that's not justice. Maybe we should use the term arbitration?
That's subjective because, we disagree on what justice is.
Well, there is private arbitration out there, Mark. You can go through, a lot of...
Well, I would argue that justice is, in fact, a thing. That justice is a decision made by an arbitrator, and that something that is not that is not justice, right? Like, you can call yourself the Department of Justice, but justice is only one decision made between two parties. And, we probably fall short in that in most cases, but the closer you get, the closer you are to justice. In the same way that truth is truth, justice is justice.
Well, obviously anyone out there can do violence, so they don't actually have a monopoly on violence. I guess you could say that, in that anyone out there can hurt
somebody. They decide which violence is acceptable and which is not, and that's what a monopoly does. A monopoly says, look, you're over there selling drugs. We're going to send the cops to go get you. I mean, Big Pharma doesn't have a monopoly on drug sales. It just doesn't go to prison when it does.
Yeah, that's I think the important point is what they have is the ability to commit aggressive violence against other people and get away with it and have most people just say, that's fine. That's what they're there for. That's what they're supposed to do.
And it's called
qualified
immunity.
There's some reasons why they do that. There's some admirable reasons. I'm not saying everything they provide is admirable. Okay. But and also,
well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're doing something good with their violently attained booty. You know, they get wealth through the violence that they threaten against people. And if they actually do something helpful to someone with that, it still means that the means to that end were inappropriate. Now, we know that from your previous call, Skeeter, you've described yourself as a utilitarian. So obviously, as a utilitarian, you don't really care if somebody uses violence as long as it goes to an end that you support, right?
As long as there's no other better alternative, yeah, but if you present two alternatives...
So you're basically a monster. I mean, you're basically somebody who is a complete antisocial psychopath who is willing to use violence against people.
I think you're the same.
Huh?
So until we...
I'm not willing to use violence against people, peaceful people. I'm not willing to aggress against my neighbors.
Well, your definition of monster is subjective.
Absolutely it is. Thanks for the call. The number here is 603-283-6160. We go to Ricky in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Ian, I had to follow Skeeter. Nonetheless, today is Independence Day. And, you know, one point I will make before I go into my two parallel stories. Yes, two men did die today. One man I'm briefly going to mention, yes, John Adams, but he was a Federalist. So I'm not going to say much about him, but also Thomas Jefferson. Now, him I'm going to say plenty of tonight. I am a Jeffersonian since I was little growing up, and it's been a big influence on me at any given time. Now, here's the first story, and there's some really interesting parallels between the two of these. Jefferson was a man that was obsessed with written and unwritten constitutionality. Plus, he also did embrace the no-harm theory, now known as the non-aggression principles. Now, here's the story. It was an ongoing problem when he was president with the Tripoli pirates. Now, what happened is Tripoli pirates grabbed a bunch of our men. They were holding them for ransom, and Jefferson sent out the Navy, hit the Tripoli pirates hard, and got back our men. Now, what happened is, right afterwards, a media man of the time went to Jefferson. So, Mr. President, you know, how did you arrive at your decision to do this? He said, well, when carefully evaluating the situation and my options, I realized there was only two. First option, I disregarded because there was no guarantee. Second option, is the one, obviously, that I chose. Now, what happened is, the man said, well, Mr. President, I'm glad you got the men back, but it seems like things don't change. He says, did you not commit an unconstitutional act? And here's what Jefferson said. He said back to him, he said, yes, I did, but I've learned there are exceptions to constitutionality. Now, here's the parallel story 200 years later. This one, some of the details, maybe you guys can help me with because it's from memory. Since you mentioned it, under Barack Obama, there was a situation. This lasted the better part of a week. And I forget who it was, but somebody was holding men and women of ours and for ransom, military for ransom. Now, it started out. Right away, the media is all over this because of modern times. And so the American people cross country were involved in this. And right away, they won the ransom. And Barack said, I think that would be a poor idea because people are cross country saying, pay it, get back our men. He's saying, I think that'd be a poor idea. Towards the end of the week, he made a comment. I believe he said, I'm the president. It's my decision, my responsibility. Once again, there's more pressure. By the end of the week, he had clearance, I guess, from Congress, and he paid these people.
And well, they paid terrorists? That's
yes, and even well, here's
supposed
what
to
happened.
Do that.
Unfortunately, he listened to the American people. Now, Barack knew better because he's big into Jefferson. He knew this story. So he paid them anyways and listened to the American people. I mean, it was loud with cross-country all week. They were on him. He paid them. They immediately killed him. Now, okay. There's some really interesting parallels here. And this is, I think, is interesting up for discussion, you know?
I have no clue what the situation was that you're referring to. So I know that there was that one reporter that we reported on for a long time who probably just ended up dead at some point. But
you're talking about the ISIS guy?
No, it had nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I don't have the internet. But I do distinctively remember this situation. And I wish I could remember who it was that holds the ransom. But the thing is, my point is, there is exception to constitutionality. But also,
besides ISIS.
Huh?
I mean, who's holding U.S. military assets for ransom besides a Muslim extremist group?
It was definitely a terrorist organization. But
terrorist doesn't mean Muslim, but okay.
It was somebody that was a terrorist, obviously, for what they're doing. But my observation
probably
here...
Probably the IRA.
Well, the thing here that I find the most interesting, Mark, is that for a week, the American people spoke loudly on this. Now, he'd listen to them, but they were wrong. I think that's a really interesting point. Now, you know, I believe people
there
can
was,
govern
according
themselves.
To just a quick search here, in 2016, there was a report from the Jacksonville, Florida Times Union, or rather the Associated Press, that the Obama administration made a $400 million cash payment to Iran 7 months prior that was contingent upon the release of a group of American prisoners. Perhaps that was,
now, was that,
the issue.
I think that was money that was seized from Iran originally, wasn't
it? Yeah, that's not it. I got to find the story, but it is a true story.
It was apparently originally Iranian money.
But the interesting point I'm looking at is, this went on for a week, I promise you. I remember the media coverage. But the American people made this poor choice. They didn't know this story about Jefferson. I mean, Barack did, but they didn't. You know, and I think that says a lot. And I think it says a lot of where people's heads are at. You know, the American people were wrong. You know, I hate to admit it. And men and women died as a result.
Well, you know? I guess my question would be, is what makes you think that the crowd would be right?
Well, I mean, of course, I mean, I think this is a bearing on now because people today don't look at history. They don't look at the past.
People today are the same as people have always been. They're just a little better informed than they were before. I mean, I think about the jury in Ian's case. This is, to me, a really great example of why in the world the idea that somehow the wisdom of crowds is going to make a great decision. It's ludicrous.
Yeah, there really is not much wisdom.
Democracy sucks. It sucks at large scale. It sucks at small scale.
Apparently, by the way, Ricky, they sent, according to Fortune magazine, in a subsequent article that came out in November of 2016, after paying the $400 million to Iran, after four hostages were apparently released, the U.S. sent another $1.3 billion to Iran after that. So whether or not that was the original story you were referring to, it is pretty outrageous. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. Of course, you can bring up anything you want. We were talking about people who don't really want to celebrate Independence Day. They're getting kind of burned on the idea that patriotism is some sort of rational thing to be involved with. A survey by YouGov, according to the New York Times, found that 56% of American adults plan to join in the Independence Day festivities this year. So, you know, it's just barely a majority of Americans that are participating in celebrating Independence Day. They give some more examples of some left-leaning people like Marissa Vivori, a 29-year-old tech product manager in Manhattan, remembers the last time she celebrated the 4th of July. A few summers ago, she was going to the Hamptons, she said, on the most packed Long Island Railroad train she'd ever been on. She said, I didn't get a seat, and I was standing in the aisle. The toilet overflowed, and we all had to hold our bags. She says she never realized she never loved the holiday. She said, I remember even as a kid feeling bad for the animals during the fireworks. Logistically, celebrating in New York City poses challenges. She says you're either in Manhattan and it's super hot and you're figuring out where you want to watch the fireworks, or you're trying to leave to go to the Jersey Shore or the Hamptons and it's a fortune and overcrowded. She also has political qualms now with the holiday, saying that last summer Roe versus Wade was overturned, and that really made me less inclined to celebrate.
Animals and fireworks. So one of my friends all of his cows got out the other day because they blew off some fireworks.
Oh, whoa.
And I'm like, you need to blow off fireworks a lot more so your cows are used to it. Not just do it when it's dark all of a sudden and some fireworks go off.
And they knock a fence over
A fence or running around. He was able to get them all rounded up by the next morning. But anyways, so I got the gun range in my place, and we have a gun church event, you know, once in a while, once a month. We haven't been doing it much lately because we've been too busy. But my guns are used to bang. My cows are used to bang. So when my neighbors were, you know, I don't know, I think somebody was doing some big fireworks next to me last night and the night before. And, like, my cows just, like, picked up their heads and looked in that direction.
No biggie.
And they just went back to eating hay.
They're not shooting at us. We're fine.
Yeah. And one more thing I wanted to say.
If you can hear the shot, you lived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
one thing I want to say, Mark, you had mentioned something a few minutes ago about the voters haven't changed or the people haven't changed since then. I kind of think our culture has changed a real lot. I believe today people very much lack wisdom that they had, you know, 200 years ago. And they also lack confidence. So, you know, 200 years ago, for example, you know, every 12-year-old needed to know how to fit a harness correctly to a horse or to an ox. They knew how to, you know, check the lubrication on the wheel bearings and check the tension of the wheel bearings or the end play on their wagon.
Now they know how to boot up the Nintendo Switch.
You know,
that's about it.
75, 80 years ago, every young man and woman, and this is what I had a conversation with my, you know, 70-year-old aunt this weekend. My aunt says, oh, sure, when I was 17 years old, I had a car. She goes, you know I knew how to change the tire, and I knew how to replace the points. She goes, I would take a fingernail file and have to clean the points once in a while. She knew how to remove the spark plugs from her car and clean them and put them back in because cars needed lots of maintenance. They weren't super reliable. And even like all the things that we're teaching, at my place, all the kids, like with planting seeds and picking weeds and hauling those weeds to the cows and feeding the cows and, you know, collecting the chicken eggs and feeding the chickens and just, cleaning the chicken coop. Like none of those skills are necessary today to, you know, to basically live a normal life because you can just take whatever you like. If you're an accountant, you just use that, you know, accounting, you know, skill that you have, the number crunching skill, or you're some kind of pencil pusher, you go to work in your cubicle or you Zoom to work. I mean, it's getting to the point where you don't even really need a car anymore. Even in rural America, everything can be delivered to you and you don't even need to go to work. So it's gotten to the point today where, like, you know, a lot of people, especially the radical leftists, very much lack wisdom because you don't have to have any wisdom to survive and have a good life right here now in America. All you need to do is go to college, listen to the guidance counselors, and they will...
You just live on welfare like Sarah.
They can, you know, you can go get your parasite job, you know, that you went to college for, and as long as you're working for the government, your college loans will either be deferred or they'll be maybe even paid for. You know, a lot of people go into the military just so they can get their college debt taken care of or at least deferred so they don't have to pay for it. I know so many people have done that. But, yeah, there's definitely a big lack of wisdom in people who didn't learn, like, how to work as a young kid, I believe, and, like, haven't had to actually work for themselves. Like, one of the guys I really want to debate next time around I run for state rep is this Tony Kaplan.
Who is
He's the state representative for Henniker, New Hampshire.
The current state.
Guy, yep. And,
Democrat.
Democrat. You know, he basically career parasite. You know, he worked in, you know, school systems, you know, pretty much his entire life. But the guy just, like... very much lacks wisdom, as all do these leftists, and it's very clear to me the wisdom is just not there, or they're lying. It's one or the other. So we'll give him a benefit of the doubt and just say, well, he's kind of ignorant. He lacks wisdom. But and they just have a bunch of followers, a bunch of cult members, best I can tell. You know, like he, you know, even... You know, not even a year ago, he's all like, oh, yeah, this vaccine thing, you know, has to happen. Everybody needs to be mandated to be vaccinated. And, you know, he's, you know, still on that. And he voted for, like, you know, all these, like, horrible things that, you know, basically only someone incompetent or who lacks wisdom or is evil you know, would support.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a lot of that going on now. We have a lot of people who are have gray hair and they're in gray hair, and they don't really have any skills. They've never really done any actual real work. Like, you know, if they, you know, if they had to hack it, you know, 100 years ago, they wouldn't have, you know,
made it. Yeah. If you want to comment here, the number is 603-283-6160. They give a few more examples of people like Connor Miskowick, a 28-year-old content creator in Phoenix. He decided to do a video series in which he asked strangers if they were going to be celebrating Independence Day. He said, I got everything from America's the greatest country in the world, we have to celebrate the American dream, all the way to this country has a lot to work on and America isn't so free and I don't feel like celebrating. He said, I honestly didn't expect to get the variety of answers that I got. He says, I think a lot.
I wonder if they're going to work.
The people answering the question, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to be celebrating, I'm just kind of wondering, you know, like if you got your 9-to-5 job and you've decided, well, I'm not going to celebrate.
Yeah.
Aren't you kind of celebrating by not going to work?
I don't know. I mean, do a lot of jobs not happen today? Are a lot of people taking time off? I mean, I would think retail.
Almost every job will let you work for 8 hours for free.
Mm-hmm.
There is so locally, the one I went to a hardware store this morning. I needed to get a spring. They're closed. You know, I kind of thought the hardware store would be like a, you know, it's like a big deal, 4th of July, where, you know, getting things sold, you know, I don't know. They were open last year on a 4th of July.
Huh.
But also, like, well, I think what a lot, another thing we're going to start seeing, especially like here in New Hampshire, is we're going to start seeing a lot of these places, especially the small mom and pop shops. I think we're going to see a lot of them not even open on the weekends pretty soon, because it's just getting so hard for these guys
to find staff.
I know there's a local auto parts store I deal with, and they were like, yeah, the manager doesn't want to work on Saturday or Sunday anymore. We only got one manager, so we're probably going to close the store. Well, I mean, that guy wants to hang out with his kids. He wants to do stuff. And he's in a position where he's like, hey, you're going to have to close the store Saturday, or you're going to have to fire me and find someone else. And, well,
they can't do that. Right.
Like, this guy's been there for 20 years, and he, like, knows everything.
He sets the rules.
And, he just has that kind of pull.
Yeah.
In fact, I hope I influenced him, because I was like, he was complaining about having to work so many hours. I'm like, what are they going to do, fire you?
Mm-hmm.
They'll never replace you. And he's like, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If you want to comment here, 603-283-6160, let's bring Sarah in. She's in New Mexico. Speaking of someone living on welfare, here she is. Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, yeah.
Are you celebrating today? Are you celebrating Independence Day?
Well, you know, I hate 4th of July.
Really?
All the so-called legal fireworks, it always turns into illegal fireworks.
Oh, okay. I want to hear more about it here. Hang on, Sarah. We're going to bring you back for that discussion. She doesn't like it when people violate the fireworks laws, whatever they are there in New Mexico, where she's calling from. 603-283-6160. You can join the show, and you can bring up whatever you want to discuss here on Free Talk Live. We got more coming up.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
U.S.
USA News update. The Secret Service has been investigating a suspicious substance found inside the White House on July 4th. NBC News White House correspondent Mike Mimoli.
A dispatch from a fire department personnel indicating that this may have been cocaine. The White House and official sources we've been speaking to are acknowledging that that dispatch exists.
One U.S. congressman is speaking out after a new poll showed just how confident people are in the U.S. government.
A recent Gallup poll shows 69% of Americans do not have confidence in the U.S. government. Iowa Republican Congressman and veteran Zach Nunn tells Fox News.
So many Americans feel what's great about America is their local community, and the federal government would be well earned if they started listening more to what everyday Americans are advocating for.
Gallup polling also shows only 39% of U.S. adults are extremely proud to be an American. I'm Tim Berg.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yeah. Yep, it is Free Talk Live. The phones are open if you want to join us here. Number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Jay, and Mark joining you tonight. You can join us online, of course, at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features there. Also, Free Talk Live this hour is brought to you by Dash. It's digital cash. We were talking earlier about, you know, protecting yourself from the potential of the CBDC, the central bank digital currency that the federal government probably is going to try to shove down people's throats at some point. It's not official yet, but it's likely in the plans. Certainly it's happening in other parts of the world. There's a big push towards these ideas because it empowers the central bank even further to inflate the money supply much easier than they already can. And so what do you do about that? Well, as presidential candidate Aaron Day was telling us about over the weekend, if you missed that interview, you can grab the Saturday night show over at archives.freetalklive.com or at video.freetalklive.com. You got to do self-custody cryptocurrencies, self-custody precious metals. You've got to take some of your value, get it out of the dollar, and put it into something that actually could hold value into the future. And it helps if you, when you're getting into cryptocurrency, it helps if you actually get into cryptos you can spend. And that is one of the things that Dash is all about. Dash is digital cash. It's a crypto designed around the idea of spending. And not many cryptos are focused on this at all. Most of them are just, oh, here's a cool tech idea. Maybe number will go up.
In the case of Dash, they've made a point of focusing on this, and they are undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace because of some of their really cool features, like the fact that Dash transactions are protected from the dreaded 51% attack by their chain locks technology. Dash transactions are irreversible. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, and it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there, and it's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets, and it's also really affordable right now. I think one Dash is like $35-$36 or something like that. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash DAO, their decentralized autonomous organization, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. And that is Dash.org. We go back to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you were saying you're upset at people setting off fireworks because you say that legal fireworks give way to illegal fireworks. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, the thing is that the legal fireworks is like for little kids, and it's no fun. And it's they have to, you know, like say you tell somebody not to do it, they're going to go out and do it even more.
I can relate.
Right. And then it's usually the minors, right? They're like maybe 15, 16, or they're under 18, so that there's no penalties for them if they set somebody's roof on fire. You know, they shoot off an illegal firework.
How are they getting these illegal fireworks?
I have no idea where they're going to get it, but what I like about our HAO is there's no fireworks at all in our little HAO.
What is that, a homeowners association?
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
So we don't allow, you know, legal, illegal.
So no fun whatsoever is allowed in your neighborhood.
Well, you could have fun in the balloon park or whatever. They're going to do the fireworks. But not around here. We just don't want our houses to be caught on fire. And you know, kids, you know, if you're walking by, these kids are, what is it? All of these things are, they pop and crack and they can hurt people. Even the legal fireworks, you could get burned and so forth. I just don't like it. And plus, over here, they love to shoot off guns on top of it, like
well,
4th of July.
This is highly dangerous. If somebody shoots a gun in the air, that bullet does come down.
Yeah,
and that bullet
is
deadly when it does. And I did look it up as Sarah was rambling on here. There, in fact, was a house in Kansas, East Wichita, that was burned down because of fireworks. Sarah, here's what I'd say is that I completely support you and your homeowners association choosing to not, you know, shoot off fireworks. However, I don't think that the whole world should not have fireworks because some people don't like it, right? Like the one lady doesn't like it in the homeowners association, or the little old lady's dog doesn't like it, or whatever the reasons are. Is fireworks is something fun, and people want to do fun things.
Well, the good news is, according to a Reader's Digest article at rd.com, they made one of those handy little maps that shows by color what the different regulations are out there. And it looks like New Mexico does permit a majority of consumer fireworks. So if there are some that are illegal, it is a very, very small number because this is one of the most free statuses, I guess. So does New Hampshire. The only state, Jay, that has a total ban on consumer fireworks is Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going? Is nobody in Massachusetts setting off fireworks? Because I'll bet that it's just going pow, pow, pow all day.
Last year, there was a video that I came across. I don't know where I saw it, in somebody's show or something, but on YouTube. But, L.A., Los Angeles, you know, there's supposed to be like a fireworks ban. I don't know if that shows up on your map there.
California is somewhat more restrictive. They permit non-aerial and non-explosive fireworks, so only the little kitty stuff.
So anyways, sparklers are illegal in Massachusetts. it could be. I don't know if it's a full out, right? I mean,
it says all consumer fireworks are banned in Massachusetts.
Yeah, okay. So anyways, Because I had a bunch of those in my truck the other day when I went down there. I didn't even know they were there until I got
criminal criminal act.
So anyways, I bought them from a seven-year-old at Porkfest, sparklers. And I was letting my three-year-old play with them. She was having a blast. But anyways, so there's a video of, like, L.A. It was, like, a drone footage, and it was a 4th of July or something, and just everywhere in the entire, you know, this is like a big chunk of the city, just a fireworks, you know, the illegal type.
Illegal fireworks.
Just going off everywhere. Nice. So I thought that was pretty good.
I like
this homeowner association thing. My mom's got a house at a homeowner association place. Mm-hmm. I would not be
couldn't
able to live
like that
in a homeowner association.
No.
But the thing is that's kind of what's available for a lot of new development, because there's a lot of Agenda 21 money, I'm going to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So we did some research on some of these, like, Colorado and, you know, California, you know, developments. And what happens, you have the United Nations literally giving, like, a few million dollars to the developer or the contractor to basically write into the deed that there will be these regulations. And what do they call a convent community? I think, because there's all these restrictions and stuff, but, like,
covenant.
Community. And a lot of that comes right out of the UN, United Nations, and they give money to the developers and the cities and the towns to, like, do all this UN-type homeowner association nonsense.
Well, Sarah, enjoy your boring, Independence Day. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Matthew. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind tonight, Matthew?
Yeah, I was just calling because you were talking about the articles about people not celebrating Independence Day, and I think that a lot of that is driven by the agenda for the people in the media that work on the left wing, because you never hear stories like that when they only make stories like that when they don't have control of the political machine. And so when they have an electoral setback, they try to use that as a way to bring that back. I mean, you never hear, like, when Roe versus Wade got repealed, they didn't have stories about that. When you've got Waco and Ruby Ridge, no one said, "I'm not celebrating because the government is murdering people." Or, like, when Obama murdered a 16-year-old American citizen in Yemen because he was visiting his father, no one was like, "I'm not going to celebrate Independence Day." I mean, I live in Seattle, Washington, and there are people that have been setting off fireworks for the past 3 days, like the liberal Mecca, and fireworks are banned here.
Wow.
And there's a wildfire risk, and people are still doing it. So I think that it's just people that...
Well, you let me know when they're setting off fireworks in Portland. Then we'll know that America is truly patriotic.
Well, I think that, like, I mean, Portland certainly got a lion's share of the media attention, but Seattle was where they were assaulting federal buildings. I remember watching protest streams in 2020 where I think that the protests were just as heavy in Seattle. Portland just gets...
I'm only teasing you.
That's okay.
I have a theory why there was...
I agree with you. Everything you've said completely. That's why I'm teasing you.
I have a theory, a little digression here, quite exactly why a whole bunch of people were burning down their own neighborhoods, essentially. First off, a lot of these people in cities that are young have, you know, their brains were developed under influence of an internet device. And second, there was probably a whole bunch of agent provocateurs that, you know, are able to, via the internet and chat groups and Facebook pages to sort of, you know, get people riled up. And, you know, and of course, they're working with the algorithm. So, you know, if anyone knows who's going to follow the directions of an agent provocateur, the algorithm knows, Facebook knows, you know, Google knows. This is the purpose of these algorithms, to figure out who can be an agent provocateur, who can follow along, who can do this stuff. And then, of course, we have agent provocateurs and, you know, whoever, CIA, whatever, you know, George Soros influencer, like, let's get together and go do this. Black Lives Matter, you know, Antifa, you know, whatever. So I think that... that's sort of my theory right there. You got a bunch of algorithmic slaves who are going to do what the algorithm says, and they're just going to follow, you know, these people that the algorithm promotes is to look up to, or the guys that are like, you know, "Oh, I recognize you from, the BLM chat. You know, you're cool. I'm going to follow you." And then let's start throwing Molotov cocktails or whatever, start burning buildings down. I mean, but when you got a whole bunch of people that their whole life they've been told that, "Hey, well, the white people have been oppressing you." And then you got white people who are like, "Hey, I'm really sorry that we've been oppressing you. I'm going to join you guys and, you know, burning down a neighborhood." just, you know, We've just got a lot of people that just can't think for themselves right now. They can't do logic and reasoning, mostly because the internet rewired their brain when they were young.
No, I mean, government school probably helped a lot with that.
Well, that helps too, but like, yeah. There's going to be a lot more of these people voting this time around, you know, that have been rewired by the internet. So, you know, probably whoever the algorithm tells them to vote for is going to be president, which will be interesting.
It won't matter anyway. I mean, whoever, it doesn't matter who wins. Go ahead, Matthew.
I think the algorithm aside, I think that Jay brings up a good point about the, when you think about, like, in the summer of 2020, when you had guys like Unicorn Riot and all these streamers, everything was live broadcast to the internet. And then when people started to, they thought that that was going to help win them over. And then what happened is that the streamers started, like, you would go to protests, and if you were trying to stream the content, the protesters would actually block your camera, and they would start to shut you down because they realized that they thought that they had the people on their side. And most reasonable people were like, this is ridiculous. Like, you can't just go out and burn down buildings and in some cases shoot people in the streets. And think that that's okay and it's going to win people to your side. So I think that the algorithm certainly drives things. I don't know if I'm 100% on board with the internet-connected devices thing, but I certainly think that there are a lot of people that are overplaying their hands. I'm thinking that people are going to go along with some of this violence in order to enact people's political change.
Thank you, Matthew, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Dave Ridley on the line, calling us from, I think, New Hampshire. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, calling from New Hampshire.
Happy Secession Day, Dave. Welcome.
Oh, yeah, really. So I had a question for you with regard to you guys may broadcast the list of things that people can do for ARIA.
Sure. Yeah, we've talked about, ARIA, by the way, now 1 week behind bars in, I guess technically not behind bars. She's at a minimum security camp, so there's not even like a fence at this particular facility. But she is forced to stay there against her will. 1 week in captivity, I guess would be an appropriate way to say it, in the federal government prison system in what they call a medical facility down in Massachusetts, and I think it's called Devens, Massachusetts. If you go to ARIA Demetso, you'll find a pinned post there to the top of her blog that has information about how to send her mail, how to contribute to her commissary account, and there was a link there on how to send her books, but we have, I think the link is still active, but the book list that she had posted, she's actually taken offline temporarily because she's had such an influx of books. She actually has too many books at the moment. They're piling up.
She wants books on chess is what she's saying right now.
She did say that. She did put a request out on her Twitter account today asking for books on how to play chess better. She's a good chess player, but she's getting killed by some guy who she's been playing in there. So she wants to...
That'll make her better.
Yeah, she wants to bone up on some techniques. Apparently. So she did request some books on chess. You'll find her prisoner number there at ariademezzo.com and links to instructions on how to send stuff.
You might want to use one of the search engines to determine how to spell Aria Demezzo because radio isn't the best place.
Yeah, it's ARIADIMEZZO, ariademezzo.com.
Makes you wonder if she just didn't pick the last name Smith.
It doesn't have the same ring to it, I don't think. So what else, Ridley? Anything else you wanted to share?
That was it. I was just curious. I saw a post and it didn't have the information I was looking for in it, but ariademezzo.com does have it, I see.
It does. Sounds like,
and it has the address that I can send mail to.
It should have everything you need there. Yeah, there's links that you can link over to the federal sites and get all that
and
stuff.
And you can also, if you want to send money to the commissary, there's three ways to do that. I'll be doing it, but I can't do it from here. So.
Okay. Yeah, and for the listeners who don't know, she was one of your co-hosts arrested on cryptocurrency-related charges.
That is correct. You can learn more about that at thecrypto6.com. Any other comments on independence here on Independence Day, Ridley?
Oh, nhexit.us.
All right, man. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
The number here is 603-283-6160. Since we're talking a little bit about independence, I know, Mark, you want to talk about federal gun possession for felons. We can get into that coming up here. But the story I mentioned last night, which is California, there's another group of people there talking about creating another state, breaking away from California. This is in the apparently the northern part of California, the story coming out of the Sacramento Bee. And when considering the possibility of a 51st state, places like D.C. and Puerto Rico are likely some of the first to spring to mind. But what about a sparser alternative nestled between California and Nevada with prime views of Lake Tahoe's southern shore? A new proposal put forth by a resident and supported by at least one former county leader would have El Dorado County secede from California and become its own state. The idea is being spearheaded by county resident Sharon Durst, who spoke alongside former county supervisor Ray Nutting, an unfortunate last name, at a community meeting last month. The Mountain Democrat newspaper reported Durst also laid out the case for secession in a more than 7,000-word post published May 26th on the platform Substack. She wrote, quote, El Dorado relies mostly on its income from tourism and on the unhappy people from Sacramento, the Bay Area, and Los Angeles buying residential and second homes away from the crime-ridden metropolitan areas. She said further, the people of El Dorado County want their former livelihoods restored and their rural way of life respected. Even without its geographical major economic drivers, the people of the county are economically resilient and self-sustaining. The post opens with sentences mirroring the Declaration of Independence and makes clear that the proposal is to secede from California and become an independent U.S. state rather than secede from the United States. The new state would be known as the Republic for El Dorado State. A bit of a mouthful. Is the county secession plan legal? Durst argues the case for secession based on Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution, which reads, quote, Congress shall have the power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States, and nothing in this Constitution shall be so construed as to prejudice any claims of the U.S. or of any particular state. She said in her Substack post that El Dorado County is other property under the power of Congress, not the California legislature, and that this language opens the door for the jurisdiction to divorce itself from the Golden State. So it sounds like she's saying that she doesn't have to ask, or that El Dorado County doesn't have to ask permission from the state of California to leave. It sounds like that's the argument.
Yep.
She's making.
I would agree that it does not have to ask, I'm no constitutional scholar, but I would say it would not have to ask California, that it would simply have to ask the United States government. The United States government spoke California into existence, and it could speak El Dorado, the state of El Dorado, into existence too.
Well,
I would think that it would be an easier political ploy to become part of Nevada than it would be, which they are directly adjacent to, if that's what they wanted to do. They're up there by Tahoe, which is all you have to do. Is if you think state government matters, all you have to do, it doesn't matter. Just go to Tahoe and look at the difference between the Nevada side and the California side. It just, as soon as that state line hits, nobody wants, and there's no businesses there.
Mm.
Because nobody's going to go to your grocery store in California
and pay
when they
all
can go to the grocery store in Nevada or wherever.
Mm. So I take it you've been up there?
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful place. Even the dark specter of socialism that hangs over California cannot dim beautiful Tahoe.
The article here does point out that immediately preceding Article 4, Section 3 that she cited in her essay, it does say that, quote, no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state, unquote, without the consent of the involved state legislature as well as Congress.
So here's how I go about that. What evidence does the entity calling itself State of California have that they have jurisdiction over this tract of land, this piece of dirt called El Dorado County? Because the State of California, all it is just a piece of paper in a filing cabinet. It's just a legal fiction. So how do they get jurisdiction over that land?
I think they would say they have men with guns who will come in there and enforce that jurisdiction.
Because that's the only way any of these places have jurisdiction.
Yeah.
But for them to, you know, present the evidence that they rely on, that they have, you know, jurisdiction over this tract of land, you know, over these people, how do these people become subject to the state of California, this legal fiction, And also there is, you know, how did West Virginia become a state? Because it was part of Virginia at one time, mm-hmm. from what I understand. And it became West Virginia. So I am sure, based on West Virginia existing,
this can happen.
That this can happen, and it should happen.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if these guys get any traction. There's a lot of these movements, especially on the West Coast. There's the Greater Idaho movement that's been going on now, which is the idea of trying to get the eastern Oregon counties to join Idaho, to essentially secede from Oregon and become part of the state of Idaho, essentially extending Idaho out to the west. And a lot of the Oregon eastern counties have actually put a question on the ballot and have voted in favor of having their town councilmen or whatever, the county commissioners, actually do something to move in this direction. So, and there's a movement for this.
What I think in El Dorado County could happen is if you get somebody with some cojones to be the sheriff in that county. You know, that sheriff literally has the ability to basically say, oh, state enforcement agencies, you can't be here. Federal enforcement agencies, you can't be here. Kick all the problematic agencies out of El Dorado County. Kick out the Health and Human Services. Kick out the, all this stuff. I mean, what if there was a country that had no welfare? Right. When I say a country, each individual state in this federation called the United States are individual nation states. They're countries. But what if there was a nation state like this El Dorado? And let's say they just don't do a welfare system. There's no welfare. Guess what you're not going to have if nobody is able to swipe their EBT card or use their EBT card in that state? You know, that's federal or whatever. You're not going to have drug encampments. That's what you're not going to have. You're not going to have a whole bunch of people doing drugs, because I know of a couple different types of people who are drug addicts. The ones that are on Kensington Street, you know, in Philadelphia, or down here under the bridge in Manchester, you know, begging on the side of the road. It doesn't get quite as bad in New Hampshire, because if you become a drug addict that starts stealing stuff, that one gets shot. So there really isn't that particular, you know, thug, you know, thieving drug addict in New Hampshire. Yeah. They're just all government subsidized drug addicts. And then you have the other drug addicts that are people who work. So I know plenty of people that are like alcoholics, mm-hmm. that are
holding down a job.
You know, I mean, there are paving companies paving the side of the road that have a bunch of employees that work for them that are all on heroin, driving the paver, driving the skid steer, you know, driving these dump trucks. You know, they got a CDL. THC doesn't show up in your urine test if you're high on heroin. So like, that's like, you know, what a lot of these guys do. And they want to do their drugs so they get up and go to work every day, because they know if they go and try to steal, they're going to end up dead.
Yep.
And they also like to work, and they're pretty good workers. I could tell you some of the most productive people are freaking drug addicts.
I've known some of those people. There's more coming up here. If you want to weigh in on Independence Day with one California county, some people advocating in that county, El Dorado County, for secession from the state of California, and not to join Nevada, but to start their own, the 51st state in the United States. Do they have a chance? Well, I don't know. But I like the idea. There's more coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.